We've all heard the terms trophy home and McMansion. They refer to the larger-than-life houses that often stand out in size and aren't in keeping with the character of the community where they're built. More than 10 years ago, Vineyard resident Thomas Benna began questioning whether these houses were appropriate for the island or any coastal community and started documenting his search for answers. One of the outcomes is in his documentary film, One Big Home, and Thomas Benna joins us in our Woods Hole studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you came to the Vineyard as a carpenter, and like many of your friends and neighbors, made a living from construction. When and why did you start questioning the size of these homes that you were working on?
I actually came to the Vineyard with a business degree as a carpenter. So I had worked for 6 months in the business world and realized I didn't want to do that. I wanted to kind of find myself, so I went traveling. After a year spent traveling, backpacking, working odd jobs, painting houses, learning carpentry, I landed here. And what I discovered was a place that didn't have strip malls, didn't have Walmarts, didn't have McDonald's, and I couldn't believe I was in America. I fell in love instantly. And so what made me want to start documenting it was I had heard on the road when I was traveling all those years that you should have been here 10 years ago, you should have been here 20 years ago, before the development crept in. So I felt like I had discovered a place that was pristine still, although the old-timers will tell me you should have been here 50 years ago. From my frame of reference, it was a miracle that this place still existed in America.
Yeah. So why did you start interviewing and filming people? Were you thinking that this was going to be a film at some point?
Yes.
Okay, so that was your intention all along.
Yeah, I wanted to be a filmmaker, and I was working out in L.A. on movies of the week and on films that really didn't speak to me. And so when I moved back here, I was looking for a way to kind of follow that passion. And I picked up a camera shortly, shortly after discovering that these houses were a problem, I picked up a camera and started talking to my coworkers. And I realized on the first day when the police showed up at my friend's house saying, you know, you can't be filming on this job site, that I was triggering something. You know,
something was going on here.
Yeah.
So we have a clip from the film of you talking with carpenters that are working on a big house.
I feel like I'm actually doing bad. There's so much waste. That dumpster over there is 2 days old. 30-yard dumpster filled to the brim. Just waste, 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 waste. It'll probably take up as much space as the house in the landfill. Just the waste from building it.
Not to mention tearing the other one down.
Right, there was a house here before that they ripped down. You know, we're destroying the very thing that we came here from by building these things.
When I first moved here, I first started doing carpentry. You were lucky if you had work through the winter. People that just got here, they have no idea what it was like to go through two building recessions here. When there was no work, that your friends were losing their houses. They had to leave because the bank kicked them out of the house.
So for you, big houses mean survival?
For most carpenters, yes. We're lucky we have people like that coming here, because if we don't, I could probably scratch out a living, but you probably couldn't afford to. I mean, people that just got here probably couldn't afford to live here. People shouldn't, this island shouldn't be so concerned about what the other people are doing. All right. They shouldn't.
So that clip illustrates just how complicated this issue is. Ends with that sentiment that really you ought to mind your own business, right? So what was it like making a film like that in such a small community?
It's been, I would say, entirely uncomfortable pretty much the entire 12 years, you know. But I really believe that there's a lot of people who share the point of view and that are just don't want to talk about it in public. And so I just figured I do love documentary film, that this was my kind of job.
Another point brought up in that clip is the amount of waste generated in the construction of a home this size. What are some of the other environmental impacts of these homes versus more modest homes?
The most glaring one for myself was the fact that these homes are empty and heated year-round. So that would be bad enough, perhaps, if you had a 2,000, 3,000 square foot house. But when you're talking 15,000 square feet of empty, heated space in a community where people are on food stamps, where people are struggling to pay for housing, where people are being forced to move, who have lived there their whole lives, that juxtaposition was kind of too much to bear.
Another argument we hear in the film is that these larger homes are changing the community of the Vineyard and other coastal communities. So how are they changing it?
I think the fact that you have the working class and then you have the vacation class and people who used to be able to make a living there as a farmer or a fisherman or both are having a difficult time doing that. And it's the same thing happening all over the world, not just up and down the coastline of America. This is there was a stat we found in the film and the research from Scotland where they said second houses, especially in small communities, can upset the fabric of the community in many ways.
You interviewed a woman building a home that's over 11,000 square feet. Here's a clip of her talking to you about the house.
We really needed to have our own place. And it took probably over 10 years to find this piece of land. It was occupied. There was a tiny barn. They had one room downstairs with a wood stove. And upstairs was a loft where they had just had a bed and an outdoor shower that was facing the water. And there was something very charming about it. Unfortunately, we had to tear the barn down.
You had to tear it down because it was on the footprint for this house? Is that
no, right? We moved it first.
Oh, you moved it.
Mm-hmm. And we wanted to keep it, but it needed a lot of work, and the builders convinced us that it was probably not cost-effective to fix it up.
How big is this house, square footage?
You know, I don't even know, but I'm guessing 8. I didn't understand what that meant. I can look at a blueprint and have no clue what that's going to come out to look like. Three-dimensionally. Could our kids have shared rooms? Yes, but you know, if you're going to do it, right? So everybody got their own room and everybody got their own bathroom and, you know, we had the guest rooms, et cetera, et cetera. And because of the fact that we tried to let everybody have a water view, it's very sprawling. You know, it just has a sprawling look. That part was overwhelming to drive up and say, oh my goodness. And the embarrassing part is when other people drive up and say, you know, I love to hear that they think the house is pretty, but I'm also embarrassed. I didn't want it to come out to be the show house. That wasn't the intention. And so if it's going to appear that way to people, I'm going to be embarrassed by that.
Embarrassed of what? Embarrassed?
That I have more than other people. You know, I feel bad that there's a guy putting a fence up, and why can't he have this too?
That's not what you expect to hear from the owner of one of these trophy houses. So how did your conversation with her change your perspective about the people building these houses?
I won't be able to state how much it changed my perspective, but it entirely threw the film into a different direction. I had complete compassion for her, for her family, and ends up her husband was actually dying, and this was going to be a monument to his family. So it really helped me see that there was something bigger going on than big, mean people ruining communities. This is a complex issue.
Very complex. As the homeowner is talking, the film shows a picture of the barn that was torn down to make way for the house. And the barn was charming, perhaps what most people think of when they have this image of rural Chilmark. Real estate prices on the vineyard and throughout a region through the roof. How many people who could afford that piece of property could be happy with a barn and a sleeping loft. It was really a shame, I guess, that she had to tear that down.
Yeah, the man who sold her that barn and that land told me, you know, we all have blood on our hands, Thomas. This is a complicated issue. I could sell that and be able to afford a piece of property that I wanted for my family home and a place that I wanted it. And it, again, just the complexity just keeps on unraveling throughout the film.
As we mentioned earlier, the film took over 10 years to create. In the meantime, you got married and started a family. You also ended up faced with a situation that was very similar to others who buy property on the vineyard and want to build us a home. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, that was a lot. We bought an old historic, my wife and her sister bought an old historic house and some land. And I really felt like, although I didn't have a lot of money to put into the project, I could help save the house. But it quickly became apparent that that wasn't going to be possible. And so we decided to tear it down. And I really felt conflicted with that decision, as did my wife. And we built a house, and the house was bigger than I thought it was going to be. So I found myself in a very similar position to the woman in the 11,000 square foot house. The scale was different, but the fundamental questions were the same.
Yeah. So how did your perspective on development change over the course of making this film?
I realized that I'm just a little bozo on the bus trying to figure things out. I really do. I mean, can everyone in the world have a 3,000 square foot house, a 5,000 square foot house? The answer is probably no. I just think that zoning and communities have to decide for themselves. That's the big takeaway from the film, I hope, is that we have to work together to really care for our communities.
For a period of time, you're immersed in family life and the film takes a back seat, but then something happens. Tell us about that.
Well, I had this moment where this is primarily a self-funded film and I've, you know, raised money from individuals, but there was a point where if I wanted to be a good dad and be present for my family, I couldn't be traipsing off shooting all over the island anymore. So the film literally took a backseat. I started filming my daughter, my wife, the building of our house. And then one day we were clamming And this huge, what was called the Chilmark Casino, the Chilmark Hotel, was being framed overlooking the clamming spot. And that was kind of the call to action. That was the moment where I realized I actually have to engage in this again.
You start to rally others in the community. And we have a clip from the film of various community members around a table discussing how to address the proliferation of trophy homes in Chilmark. And the first voice we hear is yours.
We can't put a 7-Eleven here, or we can't do many things commercially. But residentially, we have this wide open, every man is his own country, you can't tell him what to do on his property, and so I think we should challenge that. That's why I'm here. I think this is kind of crazy.
In a certain way, I think some of the old Trollmarkers might be the more resistant people because mm-hmm. of just that deep kind of independence of like, well, I don't want somebody telling me what to do, and I don't feel real comfortable telling somebody else what to do.
Mm-hmm. One simple solution is size limits in gradual increments. Anything over 2,000 square feet maybe needs to have conservation measures. And then if you get to 3,500 square feet, maybe some other measures kick in. Right now, there's nothing.
I personally feel as though we shouldn't be less than 5,000 square feet or we're going to be putting a hurting on our real estate market.
I start 2,000, you say 5,000. What's the number that we all at this table agree on for the trigger point?
If we say 2,000 square feet, I think most people would vote against it.
So the question is, can we come to some kind of consensus that we all agree on and vote this thing in? It's
naive to think that you can get 10 signatures presented to the selectmen and then go to a town meeting and get a 2/3 vote in an annual town meeting. You have to build a community of people who agrees with you. And so here's a small community, and we kind of agree with it. You know,
kind of, really?
Well, everybody's got their own take on what's important. So it's not as simple as, gee, we'll just get some signatures and get it to the selectmen, because I think you'd have it forced down your throat at the town meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do the homework piece.
Well, I'm disappointed, I must say. I was hoping we could all come together and start working on something and by November 14th present it to the town.
I think that you should ignore that deadline totally. I think you should be thinking next November 14th.
Absolutely.
You have to build a consensus from the ground up.
Yeah.
And you're not there.
Yeah.
How did you feel at that moment and viewing that meeting now? What was the takeaway lesson?
To slow down and to listen to other people and not just be running straight into something.
That meeting was the start of many community-wide discussions. And what was the ultimate outcome?
The ultimate outcome is that in Chilmark, we changed the zoning bylaw. We adapted it, and we adopted a new bylaw that sets a limit of 3,500 square feet on 3-acre lots. With a special permit that is occasionally granted, you could go up to 6,000.
What do you hope is the takeaway message of the film? And do you have a plan to take the film to other coastal communities?
Yes, I premiered it at the Newport Beach Film Festival in California. And I heard from 17-year-old kid, a 75-year-old woman, and everyone in between that they felt like their communities were being taken from them, and not necessarily from trophy homes, but from different types of development. And so I hope that this film will help spark discussions throughout the country of how we care for community and each other.
The film is One Big Home and will be screened at this year's Woods Hole Film Festival. We'll have a link to the full schedule at our website, capeandislands.org. Filmmaker Thomas Benna, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.